The global prohibition of cannabis is a crime against the planet committed primarily by the United States. But as more U.S. states reform their marijuana laws, countries around the world are stepping back from cannabis prohibition. Join us now for a look at the international cannabis reform movement in this edition of The Wide World of Weed. Welcome back, everybody. It is 33 after the hour. We're coming to you live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We are on site at the International Cannabis Business Conference and Expo. And right at this very moment, the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, is receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. And man, I wish I was in that other room right now, because he said he was going to have quite a fiery speech lined up. We'll have to find out later what he actually said. But joining me here at the desk, a good friend of the show, my sativa sister from Seattle, who rode with me on the Amtrak train, although we didn't know we were on the Amtrak train together. It's Joy Beckerman from Hemp Ace International. She's joining us here. And welcome back, Joy.
So great to be here every single time, Radical Russ.
Right on, right on. So here we are in Canada, and I understand that they had a shortage on the on one of the panels, and you got to kind of dish on Canadian hemp.
How awesome is that, that I got to pinch hit with the Miss Jamie Shaw and Dieter McPherson and Kirk Dussault? Yes, indeed, because there are some interesting things happening in Canada as well, even though, of course, they legalized here industrial hemp in 1998, but are an excellent sort of a case study of how we continue to be vigilant this many years later. Again, as I mentioned today, the Canadian hemp farmers are not allowed to collect plant materials, so the flowering parts, leaves, even the bracts around the seeds, for that non-intoxicating phytocannabinoid extraction, and are really beginning to ramp up the fight for that right.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, so I'm so focused on the marijuana issue and somewhat medical. Every time I get to talk to you in depth about hemp and we get into some of these weird little quirks of how the laws are set up, in Canada, they can harvest all the fiber stuff, but they can't use the leaf and the veggie material. In America, in some of the states, the marijuana producers can use all the marijuana material, but can't use the stalks.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, explain
Thank
that
you.
One.
Yes, indeed. So in Canada, mostly, and the big issue with industrial hemp is that we need infrastructure. So with marijuana, you grow marijuana, you cure marijuana, you dry marijuana, you smoke marijuana, and or you further extract it. Now, that infrastructure for marijuana extraction, cannabis extraction, can be very expensive, but in terms of its comparison of being able to process the industrial hemp seed for oil on a large scale and for seed cake milling for our protein powders, and our decortication infrastructure, meaning the separating of that outer bast fiber of the stalk from that inner woody core, all of that infrastructure and all of that machinery is, we're talking tens of millions of dollars. And then further, if we're going to take that fiber and move it into further manufacturing involving textiles or paper, we actually need new infrastructure for that. We're not just going to be able to take hemp fiber and move it into a cotton sort of lateral move. It doesn't work like that. Hemp is its own unique fiber in that respect. And it's the same thing with paper. We can't just move hemp pulp into a wood pulp paper making process. We have to actually get new equipment to be able to process hemp pulp. So having said that, back to the fact that the extraction of phytocannabinoids, whether it's marijuana or it's industrial hemp, being far less expensive, our hemp farmers, of course, whether we're in North America, whether we're in the United States or whether we're in Canada, want to be able to use that biomass to not only not to waste it, because, of course, farmers are not into wasting biomass at all, but to use it for its, get it out into the public for the valuable medicine that it is, but also to be able to, you know, generate revenue from it. So since 1998, the farmers here have not been able to extract phytocannabinoids. They still are unable to. And yes, in America, whereas in Canada they have federal law, in America we have 50 different laws, and in fact 31 states that have actually passed some type of legislation for industrial hemp. And of those states, I divided into three categories of legalization. So some, let's take Colorado, have just been like, we're legalizing. We don't care that there's some federal path to do it, that there's some amendment, you silly farm bill people passed on a federal level. We're just going to do what we want to do. And they do extraction, they do fiber, they do seeds, to the extent that they have, of course, limited infrastructure to process fiber and seeds. They have a tremendous infrastructure to process extraction. Then we have these two other categories. that have actually followed this pathway that the feds have laid out, which is Section 7606 of the Farm Bill. And these two different categories are, okay, we actually are going to legalize under a research program, but we're going to allow for plant material collection and the extraction of phytocannabinoids. And then we have states like Washington, which we just legalized hemp in March of 2016. I know that comes as a shock to folks because folks think that we legalized it when we legalized marijuana in 2012. We, like Canada, have written into our law that our hemp farmers will not be able to collect plant material and extract for phytocannabinoids. The silver lining to that is that states that have legalized in that same respect as Washington and or as Canada, not allowing the farmers to do that, will move forward with the oil seed and fiber. And the oil seed and fiber in the long run is the trillion-dollar industry with industrial hemp. So phytocannabinoid extraction is a smaller portion, obviously, of what industrial hemp's true potential is. But it's fascinating that a non-intoxicating of the 144 cannabinoids that we know of, only 143 of them, I believe, so far have we nailed as intoxicating. And that's even the decarboxylated form of one of them. not allowed to. So literally, we're talking about wasted biomass. It must be left in Canada and in states like Washington on farm. Cannot be processed. Must stay on the farm. In sense.
Wow. And when we're talking about this extraction of phytocannabinoids from the plant material of industrial hemp, that's the longhand version of getting CBD from hemp. That's basically they're trying to make this workaround of, oh, the CBD oil is good for the kids, but marijuana is illegal, but hemp will make that. And this is where we get into that murky area of these sellers that are saying, oh, we've got this legal CBD. It's legal in all 50 states. And maybe you can dish
Thank
on that
you.
A bit.
Yeah, indeed. And it's such a gray area. It's a fascinating area because it's developing so rapidly. It's like, don't blink, something changed in either a regulation or not. But so I think the big drumbeat that the DEA, of course, is beating all the while is that phytocannabinoids come from the resins of the plant, and that if you look at the definition of marijuana in the Controlled Substances Act, you'll see that in those two sentences, the word resin is used three times. It's used twice within the first sentence that discusses marijuana, and it's used once in the second sentence that discusses the exclusion of industrial hemp within marijuana. But the issue is that it discusses itself in that sentence as an exception to the exclusion. So when it says such term, meaning marijuana, does not include the mature stalks thereof, and it goes on, it then has a parenthetical that says, except the resins therefrom. So what the architects of the Nixon administration, although you know I, being the nerd that I am, I can't help but say that this definition is actually taken word for word from the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act. The architects of that definition of marijuana wanted to make sure we knew that whether you are talking about marijuana or whether you were talking about the exception for marijuana, which is industrial hemp, those resins are off limits. So, having said that, the DEA beats that drum. We have, however, such a defensible network of holes big enough to drive a hemp CBD truck through, whether it's various new law, the definition of industrial hemp that was written in the Section 7606, which does not include a carve-out for resin. So this new definition, which is historical, which was included in that farm bill, that distinguishes industrial hemp from marijuana for the first time in U.S. history, simply defines it as any part of the plant cannabis sativa, whether growing or not, with a THC concentration of not greater than 0.3% on a dry weight basis. So no carve out for the resins. This is a hole big enough to drive a truck through. We're saying, yay. At Section 7606, you're allowing us to use any part of the industrial hemp plant without a carve-out. Then we have the subsequent language in Consolidated Appropriations Act, as you know, because medical marijuana is also being protected in these budgetary bills that the U.S. Congress passes each year, saying that the Department of Justice and the Drug Enforcement Administration are not allowed to use certain funds to prosecute state legal and state compliant actors. And that includes industrial hemp as well. Having said that, there is the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, the DEA, and the FDA, our Food and Drug Administration, and our U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Those are the four federal agencies that you want to be looking at for this constantly changing regulation, policies, and practices as concerns hemp-derived CBD. in the end, they all are agreeing and they are all putting out there that no, they do not intend for industrial hemp under research federal law to be grown for folks to be extracting phytocannabinoids from that. It's totally defensible, but the feds are telling us that no, they are not condoning that. The issue is they're neither enforcing it nor going after these actors, and so we continue to just consider ourselves to be defending what we're doing. But in the plain letter of the law, when we say on all these websites it's legal in all 50 states, it's a leap. I don't want to condemn anybody for making those claims. You know, being on the law side of things, I don't say that because I don't believe that claim. It's a defensible claim. Let's leave it at that.
Well, we just have about a minute and a half left here, and Jamie Shaw is right in front of the desk here, so I thought we'd say hi to Jamie, and thank you for getting Joy on your panel today.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome that she was able to do it. We had some last-minute cancellations and found out that Joy was also a member of the Canadian Hemp Alliance, so that was amazing, and she killed it.
All right, so just real quickly here, what are some of the main, or maybe the main thing you'd like to get across to people listening about Canadian activism and how they can help?
Oh, geez, you know, it's honestly very similar to what's going on in the States. The specific issues are different, but we see the same patchworks. We see the same cities moving forward with sensible regulations and making compromises in certain areas, and we see other places doing the opposite or going in different directions. Up here, where dispensaries are still illegal, according to the government, it's fascinating to us when places like Louisiana pass legislation that allows them to have dispensaries. So it's a little mind-boggling here. But, you know, ultimately, I think we're all going the same way. We're all going the same place. We all kind of want the same things, ultimately. And there's some differing opinions about how to get there, as you know very well yourself from your conversations with Be Real this week.
Yes, yes. Certainly learned a lot from that. Well, I'm learning a ton about what's going on in Canada and up here at the ICBC. So many great Canadian activists to learn from. Jamie, thanks so much. And do you have any contacts you want to give out to people if they'd like more information?
Sure. Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Jamie S. A. Shaw, or Jamie Shaw on Facebook.
All right.
Yeah, those would be good places to check.
All right. And for you, Joy, any contact information for people?
Thank you so much. HempAce.com and at HempAce on Twitter, Joy Beckerman on Facebook.
Right on.
Love
all right.
You, Jamie Shaw, goddess.
Back at you, girl.
That's all the time we got for this interview. So thank you so much for stopping by, learning a little bit more about what's happening all around the world. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant on the racist, homophobic reefer madness of Maine Governor Paul LePage. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.